Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, guys, here we are back in the jungle. It is the Sklungle. I'm Randy. He is Jason. We are the Sklar brothers. And oh, man, do we have a lot today.
You know, Rand, I look forward to doing these shows so much.
Me too.
Even if there was nothing going on in the world of sports. And oh, man, there's a lot going on in the world of sports. So we're going to get into it today.
This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience, Jay.
We got John Jansen.
John Jansen's going to be here. And I'm
talking college football.
He's been on the radio for 4 hours in Detroit this morning talking college football. He does a great podcast, In the Trenches and Conquering Heroes. And he lives this stuff and breathes. He does college football on Sirius Radio. So talk to him at 10. We're going to talk to Gar Reines, the batting stance guy. Going to talk about baseball and kind of where...
Gar Reines, the only guy we know who last year, beginning of the season, predicted the Nationals would win.
He came on our podcast last year and predicted that the Nationals would win, and he was right. And we played that clip back on our podcast. It was amazing.
Ran it back.
So we'll talk to him about the world of baseball. Rex Chapman, the king of Twitter. Rex Chapman. Rex Chapman came and did our podcast, and... you cannot not fall in love with that guy. That dude is so honest about himself.
He's honest, open, funny, and cool.
Yeah.
And the guy has been to the mountaintop. So, and he's had tremendous lows as well and is open about that. So he's an amazing guy. He'll talk NBA with us.
And I mean, we did have him on our podcast recently, and we made the Rex Chapman joke to him. That we made, I believe, on this show years ago when he stole all that stuff from the Apples.
How generous and amazing he is. He'll be on the show, hour three.
Yeah. Christoph Waltz. I don't know if you know this. Huge NBA fan.
You're going to find out how much in the next segment.
So lots going on. And then we've got takes about Twitter beefs between Paul George's girlfriend and
Damian Lillard's sister. We got Draymond Green getting fired for telling...
Getting fired?
Or not fired, getting but fined for telling Devin Booker to move from Phoenix.
Get out
which
of Phoenix.
Which I think only had to do with him wanting to stick it to Charles Barkley, but...
Maybe. We'll never know. They don't like each other.
We'll get into that later.
We got a snooker take later.
We got snooker beef up in this piece.
When there's snooker beef, we will be there to squash it. Side pocket.
Out of the gates, though, I think we have to talk about the biggest news right now, which is...
the snooker beef. Let's get into it right now.
Let's dive right in. The thing that's on everyone's mind, which is the fact that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have canceled their seasons, or at least postponed them perhaps to the spring.
They say postpone now. You don't know if that's just to sort of quiet the masses.
Of course, the SEC still playing. They would play through a gunfight. Look, if you look deeply... if you look very closely into the deep background of Mad Max Fury Road.
I haven't seen that movie in a while.
Deep in the deep desert.
Yes.
You can see Auburn doing a spring practice.
Full pads?
Yeah.
Full pads?
Full pads.
Someone flying off a motorcycle coming around doing a...
Oklahoma.
A wheel route. Literally on a wheel.
SEC will play. They're going to play. ACC is going to play.
Big 12 is going to play.
A lot of questions are now being opened up.
They say they're going to play. They say they're trying to figure out a way to play. We'll see if they play.
We'll see. You know, and there's a lot of people are coming down hard on against the Big Ten for canceling the season.
And the Pac-12.
A week after they released their schedules.
Yeah, why be so confusing? And why,
what's the new information?
New information has come out? And they're saying I've been watching so much. I watched... you know, the AD from Ohio State spoke very eloquently about it. I mean, this is
Jim Harbaugh's letter out to the world in an explanation of how well Michigan has been able to do, like multiple tests, zero positives. You know, they're taking it very serious. They have a business-like approach to it. But the issue is not all schools are in one uniform system. And this is the beef. This is what we have. Okay. Randy and I talked about this. We talked about this with Adam Hawk before the show. As soon as the Big Ten canceled as soon as the NCAA canceled the NCAA tournament, the biggest event in college basketball and arguably one of the biggest events in all of college sports, aside from the college football playoff, as soon as they canceled it in March,
the NCAA should have been like, how are we going to save college football?
That's the next thing that comes out of their mouth.
April 10th, you're literally all hands on deck. How are we going to now save college football? Because we just had to cancel the biggest tournament of the year for us. How are we going to do this? So here's what you can do, because it's not like the pandemic crept up on us last week. And it's not like the country is handling the pandemic correctly. So you know you're in trouble. So what you do is, you say there, you do the way that Michigan has been handling it. Give them as an example. They've had zero positive tests in the last several weeks.
They have a business-like approach. They say right now, if you have any positive tests, your program's in trouble. You might not play football. All right? And we're going to have an outside testing source so that...
You don't get to police yourself, Colorado State. You don't get to say, shh, don't tell people you have symptoms. You have...
Cough in the other direction and don't tell anyone.
You have an outside testing company or an outside NCAA-sanctioned testing people in every program doing these tests. You have to have 3 weeks of no positives, and then you can play college football. Why was that not put in place back in April?
Raise the consequences, and you'll see that teams will comply.
Because the NCAA has the worst, weakest leadership ever. Like, there should be uniform across college football.
The fact that you have three Power 5 conferences that are saying right now, Randy, they're saying, we're going to play. And you have two Power 5 conferences saying, we're not going to play. Should tell you how the lack of overall oversight and unification within the NCAA, how weak that governing body is.
And by the way, if you're getting mad, don't get mad at the Big Ten and don't get mad at the Pac-12. Get mad at the NCAA for not handling this back in April.
Get mad at Mark Emmert.
You think just by saying, hey, I trust what the Big Ten and the Pac-12
are doing. If they're doing this in the spirit of protecting the kids, then you can't really argue with them and you can't really get mad at them. You can say, maybe in hindsight, down the road, we may look back. SEC may pull off the season. ACC could pull off the season. Kids could be fine. And we could say, okay, wow, that was an overreaction. And that sucked. All right? But they're doing it in the spirit of trying to protect kids. And
if you're calling people who support that not fans, what are you saying? Are you saying that we're not fans? We're the biggest college football fans ever.
Nobody is more depressed about the fact that the league that we're rooting for, the team that we watch, is not going to be playing this fall than Randy and I.
Do you know what fall looks like for us as college football fans?
Monday, I listen to a podcast about Michigan. Tuesday, listen to another podcast. Wednesday, start watching highlights of old games against the team that we're playing.
Like Jay's watching film. Like he's watching film. He's doing film study.
Saturday morning, we get together at Randy's house. Kids, family, hanging out, watching the game. It's an event. It's something we look forward to. If Michigan wins, then hell, I may watch another college football game later that afternoon.
And then later that night, watch the cut down of the game you just saw earlier to rewatch it again.
And then we're back on it again the next day. Listen to the podcast Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we're waiting for it again. That is my entire fall. I look forward to it more than anything. And this is the thing. This is the thing that bothers me the most, Rand. Here we are. It's 2020, and there's an assault on having complicated feelings. I have complicated feelings about this. Why are we at this point in history where you're either one side or the other? Choose your sides. Pick your teams. Why can't we say to ourselves, okay, I'm conflicted about this. I'm sad that college football won't be coming back. It bums me out.
But I also want the kids to be protected. I think you should be cautious. And I love Lou Holtz. I met Lou Holtz. I think he's a great guy. I think he's an unbelievable analyst and was one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. But for him to come out yesterday and say that it's like storming the beaches of Normandy, college football.
There's going to be some casualties.
Really? Casualties? People who go off to war think they're going to die. They're like, there's a great chance that I'm going to die. People who go play college football do not think they're going to die. That does not enter their brains. And that's ridiculous to even say that. I mean, you want to say, oh, there's just a couple casualties. Say it to the parents of the kid on Maryland who died a few years ago because he was worked too hard in a summer practice. Okay? And once that happened, by the way, that had ripple effects all throughout college football to the point where there are medical staff now at every practice.
Yep.
You've got to take water breaks. You've got to check in with the kids to see if they're okay. That changed everything. One kid dying. So you're just going to be like, nah, there's some casualties. We may lose some kids. Don't say that, Lou. You're better than that. You're better than that. So you got to protect the kids, and we believe that. And we're still mad. I'm pissed. I want college football. As a Big Ten, I want to watch my team play this fall, but we can't because you got to protect these kids.
And we are in a situation right now where you're looking at these teams and you're looking at the responsibility that's put on these kids without having a plan, without having a bubble in place. Look at professional leagues that had Major League Baseball. How's it working out for you, Major League Baseball?
Major League Baseball. These are guys, players that are getting paid. They're adults. And still, and the game is important to them. And still, a bunch of Cardinals allegedly went to a casino when they shouldn't have gone to a casino, which is the least clean place in the world.
Yeah, you can get syphilis just from hanging out at a casino, let alone coronavirus.
It's literally like hanging out with a bunch of koala bears. All right? So it's like so
that's happening there. They don't have a bubble. Even the NBA bubble has the bubble.
The NBA is doing it better than anyone else, and still, they grant Lou Williams a chance to go for his friends, his mentor's funeral, and what does he do? He stops by a strip club and takes a picture with a white rapper while he orders wings. There are so many things wrong with that. Every decision
he made, including being with a white rapper.
Every decision he made was wrong. And this guy is in the bubble, and they're doing everything right. So I'm saying college kids who are not getting paid, they want the college experience, you think every single college kid is going to handle this correctly?
I don't.
They're not.
It's not possible.
And for every team that's doing it right, you've got the Nebraskas of this world going, we need a full stadium.
What if we have 90,000? We can do it. No, you can't. You can't. What is the goal? The goal to me, it's easy. I want to see my team play another team. And if I can watch it on TV, I'll watch any competition right now. I'm watching NBA games in the bubble, and I'm saying, you know what? It's fine. I miss the fans. I miss the cutaway to the crowd shot. I miss all that stuff a little bit, but I like the competition. I like how into it these guys are getting. Giannis is going to headbutt Mo Wagner because he's into the game, not because the game is running at half speed and it means less.
I watched the horse matchup between the WNBA players and the NBA players, and what you saw was that, why was Mike Conley Jr.'s gym better than Tamika Catching's house? Like, can she live in Mike Conley's gym?
I don't know.
It's a great gym.
Mark it down.
Look, the deal is this. The NFL is right behind. The NFL doesn't have a bubble. And you got guys in the NFL who are out there like Matt Light. You know,
expatriate lineman
who said you have attitudes like his in this league. Guy saying, I publicly won't wear a mask. Mm-hmm. He said, quote, you won't catch me out in public covering my face, claiming that the science proves that there's no need to wear a COVID-19 mask. The science proves that there's no need to wear a mask.
The science proves the other way.
Yeah.
On every level.
It's pretty clear. This is what he said. The science is real clear on masks, right? You mean really clear? Not real clear?
Yeah.
There's no need to interpret it, whether it helps save lives or not. It doesn't.
No, it does.
I don't know.
It does.
So it's the simplest thing. You got guys walking around. There's another lineman, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who is also a doctor, is like, I'm not playing because of COVID. I'm taking myself. So Matt Light, you know more than this guy?
Yeah.
You're going to tell this guy he's wrong?
Please.
Yeah. Please.
You're going to tell him he's an idiot?
He's an NFL lineman just like you, okay? So right now, that to me is the microcosm of what's going on in football, okay? So Duvernay-Tardif is like the Big Ten and the Pac-12. You're going to get mad at this guy? He's a doctor.
Right.
And Matt Light's like, just play, whatever, just play. Don't wear. And I'm not going to wear a mask when I'm out in public. That's the thing. There are people out there who do not take this thing seriously, and it could affect other people.
But why wouldn't you? In the case right now where you're like, your league is potentially on life support for this season, wouldn't you want to do every single thing possible to try and keep it going? Even if you don't believe in it, even if you don't agree with it, wouldn't you say to yourself, give me a second here. Let me do everything possible.
Let me be overly cautious in my regular life so that I can play the game that is a privilege, not a right.
Let me do this so that I can provide something, a distraction to America to help us get through this time.
By the way, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said last month that he believed the pandemic could be controlled in 8 weeks tops if everyone wore a mask. But Matt Light's got the science.
Oh, thanks.
Just making sure.
Like, had we done this all at the beginning and really socially distanced and really all wear masks and really supported this thing from the get-go, we might be having college football right now without a problem.
You want another Matt Light quote?
I do.
It has no real effect. It makes you feel comfy and warm inside.
I don't know anyone who's ever said that a mask makes you feel comfy and warm. Comfy at all. Warm inside at all. The mask is the metaphor right there. Nobody likes wearing the mask. I hate wearing a mask while I'm exercising. I hate wearing a mask while I'm out. But I do it because, you know what? It's a thin piece of cloth. It's just physics. It's blocking my breath. It's keeping it in. That's why it's uncomfortable.
Keep going, Matt Light.
Keep going.
But maybe it doesn't do anything in the grand scheme of things. It does.
Garbage.
It does. This is the point that we're saying right here. There is a Matt Light. The Matt Light is not on in people's brains.
Right.
And it's out there and people have this attitude. And with this attitude, this is dangerous. And this is how kids can get sick. And we don't know the long-term effects of what COVID does on a kid's heart.
I hope it doesn't do anything.
I hope it's fine. And I hope everyone is safe. And I hope if conferences do play that kids are 100% fine. I want it to be that way.
By the way, let me also say that if conferences play, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to watch. That's how conflicted I am. Not boycotting college football because I don't know if it's safe or not. I will be watching. And if that makes me feel like I'm contradicting myself, it's because I have complicated feelings about this issue.
It's okay to not know. It's okay to have complicated feelings. And it's okay to say we need to put the kids first. It's okay to do that. And then it's okay to be pissed that there isn't college football this week.
When did this become an after-school special? It's okay to have complicated
feelings.
It's
okay. Guys, hug us. It's okay.
You're growing. You're going through puberty.
It's
you're
okay
going
to
have difficult
have complicated
feelings.
About this thing.
You're going to have funny feelings. You're going to want to take long showers.
And by the
this
way,
it's a complicated time.
Also, like, I love that the people that are speaking about it now and the pundits are saying, there's no way to have a season in the spring. There's no way. You can't figure out any way to have a season this spring. If college football has one, there's no way to do it. So what? The next year's year is so sacred that you can't just chew into that a little bit?
No. Look, there's a way to do anything. There's a way to salvage anything. And I think there's a way, even if like by some chance we come out with a vaccine at a certain point and we feel safe, to fire up the season then.
Yeah.
I think we have to be as nimble as the NBA has been. Mm-hmm. You look at the NBA as the example. Find a bubble situation that could possibly make people safe. You come up with the fact that this wasn't done in April is a sham, and that's what you should be mad
NCAA, at. NCAA, if you're listening, you get your people out to test every single school and every team. And if there are no positive tests for a series of weeks, then you let them play.
Step your game up.
Step your game up.
All right,
let's take a break. We are off and running. We're going to talk all this stuff. Email us. Tweet us.
Tell us where we're wrong. Fight us on this.
Yeah, you can email us at RomanHaveATake.com or tweet us. We're at Sklar Brothers. Let me read this right here, gang. Have you had trouble finding time to fully wax your car, Jay?
I have.
303 Touchless Sealant will save you hours. This SiO2-based formula is completely touchless and a quicker alternative to waxing your vehicle and lasts twice as long. It's so easy to use. Simply spray on and rinse off. 303 Touchless Sealant provides superior protection against paint fading and provides the ultimate shine in no time. It takes only minutes to get that same water-beating protection you get from a full wax, saving you hours spent in the garage. Safe for paint, gel coat, fiberglass, plastics, and can even be used on your windshields and wheels, too. It can also be used when you're looking to prolong the time between waxes or ceramic coatings. 303 products have been trusted for over 40 years and are the official car care products of Mecum Auctions. Available now at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts, AutoZone, or Advance Auto Parts store. Visit 303radio.com. For more information, we'll be right back as Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
People all around me, and they're all in fear. They don't seem to want me.
All right, we are back.
They won't admit.
After spitting the truth.
I beat some kind of creature.
Cleaned up. It's a tough thing, you know, as we want to come strong with every take, but there are times where you come out and you're like, God, I believe this,
and
but there's a little part of me that believes this too.
I can't reconcile.
People, that's the thing with sports. There's a winner and a loser in sports. Okay?
It's very easy. It's very binary. It's a binary situation.
But when you talk about the conditions for sports being able to happen in a current pandemic, it's not that easy.
And I think in the overall beyond sports, in this current moment in our country, no matter what side you fall on, it has become an us versus them, and the gray area has died.
Yeah. We need the gray.
Let's bring the gray area back.
The gray area is like, and maybe that's Jim Gray's new talk show, the gray area. Look, I'll pitch it, man. Jim Gray, wherever you are, it's an interview show.
Either the gray area or Gray's Anatomy.
All right. One league that we feel like is getting it right and really getting it right is the NBA. We talked about it last time. Their bubble action is so tight.
Yeah, their bubble game is tight. And
when you got other players snitching on other players for not wearing masks in the bubble and all that stuff, then it's working.
You did it right. And when you got a player, when you got Giannis headbutting Mo Wagner, mm-hmm. and nobody worried about COVID being transferred, you're like, all right, we're okay. All right.
We're doing it. We're okay.
We're okay.
Well, the truth is that there are lots of fans of the NBA.
Unexpected fans.
I didn't know that this guy was such a fan until we started to have him on our podcast. He's one of the greatest character actors of all time.
Academy Award winner.
Quentin Tarantino stable.
Yes. He's in that cast of characters.
He's just amazing. Everything he does. And then he did a series of commercials a while back where he was very American. And I believe either that showed an insight to who he was as a person.
Or it inspired him to get into American culture.
And we're, of course, talking about Christoph Waltz. And I believe he's on the line if we've got him right now. Mr. Waltz, are you there?
Randy and Jason, as always, it's a pleasure.
It is so nice to talk to you. I know this is actually, it's a rough time for the world, but you have your NBA, and I know that makes you happy, sir.
It's amazing that right now, the simple things matter the most. And mm-hmm. for me, it's the NBA, and this bubble is... It's really just been a success story.
Well, I know at the beginning you had your doubts, the fact that the bubble would be in Orlando. You initially had pitched out to us taking the bubble elsewhere over to your side of the pond. Can you elaborate on that?
There was an idea that I was floating for a while, which was to bring the bubble to Vienna, Austria, because it's where I'm from. If I'm just being honest about it, was simply more convenient for me because I was quarantining there.
Right.
The numbers were low.
Yep.
They were using the nasal swab, even in children, and no one was complaining about it.
Yeah, sure.
And I thought, this is a great opportunity to also have a cultural exchange. Maybe the players can listen to opera. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can try these fine pastries that we have that they've never had before.
Absolutely.
And you're trying to grow the game internationally, and it is an international
game. I mean, when you think about the international players, talk about a team like Dallas and what their two stars are international stars, and one of them is your favorite player in the league. But talk about how that team is on the rise, especially with role players like Trey Burke stepping up.
If you could see my face right now, I'm smiling so wide you can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. Because obviously my favorite Kristaps Porzingis, he is the unicorn. Mm-hmm. He has been the unicorn from the beginning of time. Really, if you think about it, he was such a pioneer in this way. Yeah. He was this 7 foot with a wingspan of a condor and this inside-outside game that really has now, he is the pre-Giannis, so he's the pre-freak, and here he is, and yes, this is international. Don't forget about Boban Marjanovic. He is starting to try and take some of my roles from me now. John Wick.
So can't do it.
This is exciting, and then don't forget about JJ Barea. Puerto Rico's had such a difficult year,
giant.
They're representing.
Yeah, he is. He is representing, and of course, Luka Doncic. I mean, can we talk about him?
Talk about the pass.
If you're going to have a unicorn, you're going to need someone magical to ride that unicorn. And that's
Hang on a second.
Who would ever pick this number? He's number 77.
I know. It's so foreign.
You must have big. I know the salmonella outbreak.
Yeah.
Excuse me for saying it. But you have to have some big onions
that's
to wear
right.
that number.
Well, and onions that you don't mind passing the ball between. And so he made that unbelievable between the leg pass that
up the middle as he was making a drive. I mean, that might be the pass of the bubble so far.
I just when I watch this Mavericks team, I look over at the bench sometimes, mm-hmm. and Rick Carlisle has the emotive qualities of a gargoyle.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you
Good
can
point.
See he's a proud papa.
He is very excited. So they're the eighth seed, but let's stay out west and talk about the show that Dame Lillard put on. I mean,
motivated
Dame,
by
Dame
the trash
Judy
talk.
Dench has got to stand up and applaud a 61-point performance after a 51-point performance. The dude is out of his mind.
My head is spinning. I can't believe what we're witnessing here. As mm-hmm. you know, in this bubble, there is a code that is occurring, mm-hmm. and snitches will get stitches.
That's right.
But it's important
very
to
good
know
to point
that
out.
Dame Lillard was called out by Pat Bev on the Clippers.
You know he did.
You know what? He said in the post show, he said, look, I have put this guy out of the playoffs. Uh-huh. I've done the same thing to PG. Uh-huh. And I will now turn it up a few more notches. And now what we're seeing, I haven't seen performances like this stacked up since mm-hmm. Bernard King was on his run.
You like to go back to Bernard. I mean, Bernard King had game that I don't think enough people respect.
He was 50 points automatic.
He was a 50-point bucket getter extraordinaire, and this is the kind of thing you're seeing from Dame Lillard. It's not so bad to also be able to look over at a suddenly svelte Carmelo Anthony.
I know.
I haven't seen the spring in the step from him since he was playing in the Carrier Dome.
Wow, that's a throwback to Syracuse, and maybe, you know, the bubble is helping him lay off Honey Nut Cheerios, and here he is. He's back, and he's svelte.
I know exactly what you're referencing right there.
Okay, good.
I know you do. I know you do. So, obviously, those are teams that are exciting, but let's go to the top, and the Lakers are a team that, you know, they're in the first position, but they have not looked so strong throughout the bubble at this point. Some of their weaknesses have been exposed.
And by the way, can I just say before you answer, I love talking basketball with Christoph Waltz.
It's surprising how much you know about the game.
Famous character actor from Vienna, Austria. So please give us your thoughts on the Lakers.
The Lakers, to me, have a lot to prove. Everyone is talking about, well, LeBron, and you know he's a veteran, and he knows how to win in these environments.
He's a veteran.
Let me tell you something. This is an environment that nobody understands. Mm-hmm. This is why you're seeing someone like T.J. Warren suddenly look like he's Adrian Dantley in his prime.
That's a
you
great
can't
call.
You can't explain what's happening
great
right now.
Call.
And I look at the bench is the key to the Lakers.
Sure, yes.
Are they going to step up? Can we count on a Dion Waiters? I mean, this guy's weight fluctuates like Oprah's.
Yeah, it's,
we just don't know what we're going to get. And then I look at someone like Caruso, and I think, is this guy trying to steal my job? He looks like a Christoph Waltz character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think we're going to find out if this team has what it takes, because I watched the game the other night, mm-hmm. and I look at a team, an upstart team like this Denver Nuggets.
Sure.
I see someone like Bol Bol. How can you game plan for a Bol Bol?
You cannot. And if Bol Bol adds any size to him in the next couple of years, the dude is going to be he's unbelievable. His game is fantastic.
Well, he's got handles. He can pass from.
And he's the future on that
transition.
Team. And you look at you talk svelte. You look at a svelte Jokic. I mean, that guy is now ready to play and in game
this
shape.
This guy is on the keto diet. Jokic and Bol Bol. Uh-huh. These two guys. And I can't believe they have handles. And then Michael Porter Jr.
Sure.
suddenly rising from the ashes of terrible knee injuries.
Yep.
Past. This team is one to watch. I think the whole West is up for grabs. And if I'm the Lakers, I don't want to see those Blazers coming at me with Lillard with an axe to grind.
He does have an axe to grind. And maybe
what about the Clippers?
The deepest team perhaps in the West or perhaps in both leagues, the Clippers.
As you know, our greatest strengths are often our greatest weaknesses, and I worry that the Clippers will find themselves in situations where they are relying on ISO type of game plans for their stars like Kawhi
sure.
and Paul George, and suddenly they become a little bit predictable,
sure.
two-dimensional, and all of a sudden you're kicking the ball around the horn and hoping that Jamichael Green hits a corner three.
Which yes. is a big
It's
if.
Putting a lot of weight on his shoulders, and I would think that a team like the Clippers would be a team that you, as a character actor, would identify with
and appreciate.
This is a team full of character
huge,
actors.
Listen, you don't like to see the trash talk in the regular season getting to these levels. At the same time, I look at a Patrick Beverley, I look at this team, and I see Sweet Lou Williams, who went to get the wings at Magic City.
Of course.
By the way, I've had those wings.
Have you had those wings?
Those are wings worth risking contracting.
No,
stop
virus.
It. No, stop it.
How about taking a picture with a white wrapper? Would you do that? That's something you wouldn't do.
I would not do that.
Okay, thank you. You draw the line.
That's not where my rap tastes lie. It's not about
hang on a second. I don't want to deviate here, but where do your rap tastes lie?
My rap tastes lie more in the mid-90s. So, I'm a big gangstar.
I knew you'd say gangstar.
Clip.
Big Pun? Were you a Big Pun fan?
Oh, I love Big Pun.
Of course you did.
And don't forget, you can't have Big Pun without the beat nuts.
That's right. That is a great point, and maybe where we should leave this. I know you're excited to watch the playoffs as they start. Just enjoy it. It's a time now where you're not acting because there aren't
we
any
can't
live.
Can't do full production.
Can't do that. So kick back, relax. You know the work will come in when the work starts flowing. I hope we find a cure for this so that we can all get back to normal and we can see your beautiful acting on screen. But until then, we'll enjoy the NBA, right?
Let basketball cure what ails you. Enjoy what this is. Spend time with your loved ones and order lots and lots of food and support the people that are driving and leaving things at the door correctly.
Look at that.
Christoph Waltz.
Christoph
Thank
Waltz
you for joining
with
us.
A deep dive into NBA
and 90s rap.
I mean, if that doesn't say it all, you cannot talk about Big Pun without mentioning the beat nuts.
I would argue that Christoph Waltz has as much NBA knowledge as some people who talk about an NBA on television.
Yep.
I would argue that it is shocking to me. I don't know.
I would put his, and I love him, I would put Christoph Waltz's NBA knowledge up against Dennis Scott's.
Agreed.
D3. I mean, do it. Let's see who comes out on top. All right, should we take a little
sports
break? Let's
take a break.
Yeah. We're going to get a little sports update from the Andrew Bogut of
sports updates.
That's right. Our good friend Andrew Bogish. This is Sklar Brothers, filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, coming in hot, finishing up hour three, Jay.
Hour one.
I'm sorry, hour one. Third segment in hour.
Third segment in hour one.
Jesus Christ, what's wrong?
What's wrong with you? We got 3 hours of show today. We got John Jansen next hour to really break down what's going on in college football.
Maybe he'll set us straight. I'm, again, excited to have a full discussion. Sorry about saying hour three. Garrett Ridge just had a heart attack.
He's
on the board.
I think he's had three tiny heart attacks.
He had three tiny heart attacks, and that has to do with the mini.
Let's get into this for a second. Garrett Ritt walks into the office today with an egg sandwich with basically a sausage patty on it.
Uh-huh. Gigantic. It was an egg on a, not a bun, but I think it was.
It's an English muffin, but still. He's basically eating a burger.
He's trying
to tell us that it's not a burger.
We're like, that is dinner for breakfast.
Get on.
Sometimes our kids were like, let's have breakfast for dinner. You literally had dinner for breakfast. So he maybe had three times.
He's like,
heart
no, it's a healthy sandwich.
Oh, dude.
Let's read some tweets.
Shall we?
Chris, no longer in St. Pete, said Jim Rome Sklar Brothers. Can't wait to hear Idris Elba talk about the DH in the NL and Steve Garvey.
That would be amazing.
I love that.
Garvey, short shorts. How about this one? Having someone as talented as Christoph Waltz break down the NBA on Rome today shows both his range and your level of respect throughout Hollywood. I have to ask, was Mr. Waltz enjoying a fresh glass of milk during the interview? Bravo. I think he was, and I want to say it was oat milk.
That was wooden laconic.
I love it.
That's
a Jay Stu reference from back in the day. Wouldn't look on it.
At Sklar Brothers, Christoph waltzed right through that segment. Mr. 68, crying right now. Christoph Waltz is dropping NBA science.
He was dropping so much. He was dropping was dimes, dropping science.
That was Bubba Zanetti.
He was dropping knowledge.
Sklar Brothers didn't realize how much I needed to hear from Christoph Waltz today, AZ in Wisco. I also want to wish a very happy birthday to our buddy Jimmy Acho. unbelievable dude, involved with a lot of NFL players in making sure that they get paid.
He ran against Demoris Smith to be the NFL PA
player
representative.
And he's a guy who has fought for players' rights. So he turns 50 today and a fantastic dude. I want to talk about this before we get out of the first hour because we touched on
it. Is it the first hour? Because I'm a little turned
around
here.
Randy said third hour.
I meant first hour.
I've been watching a ton.
Is like it Chris, Southern California or is it South Cal?
I think it's South Cal.
Okay, I think it's South Cal.
I got to say, I've been watching a ton of NBA in the bubble, just like Christoph Waltz.
Me too.
I like it almost as much as Dwight Howard hates wearing masks.
So you're saying a lot, because that dude does not like wearing a mask.
He loves not being safe. The NBA, it might be one of the scant few.
He doesn't like wearing physical masks. Let's just say that.
Remember a couple years ago when he says, "I don't like wearing masks" in an interview? Mm-hmm. That was interesting. Mm-hmm. Precursor. NBA may be one of the scant few team sports that we get to watch.
And the NHL.
And the NHL. I see it, I don't know, distinctly different than the regular NBA games, what's happening in the bubble, and I like it. I'm fine with it being different. I feel like the games have been, it's like watching a really great run. It reminded me in Last Dance when Jordan was shooting Space Jam, and then he would have those like insane runs late at night, and you saw the players getting together. It feels a little bit like that. Like
it does.
Getting a behind-the-scenes DVD look at what the NBA kind of is. And, you know, it's fun. Anytime you hear the audio drop for like 8 seconds, I'm like, what are they saying to each other?
Just dropping F-bombs left and right.
Guys are taking it seriously as Lou Williams once wings from a strip club.
Listen, I like the NBA so much, and I have a question. I know there are only two Morris twins, but it feels like they're on five teams right now.
Agreed.
Is that right or wrong?
It does. Here's an interesting fact. What happens in the bubble doesn't necessarily
it does not stay in the bubble. No.
And that is thanks to social media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Trash talk gets ratcheted up by girlfriends and siblings. They're starting to clap back at each other.
That's right.
Making what we can only guess is already it's kind of an awkward situation in the bubble, and it's got to be getting more awkward every day, okay? Clippers beat down Trailblazers last week, all right, before Dame Lillard went off. And they won that game. That was, and he had a good game, but they won. And then Pat Bev and Paul George from the bench mocked him.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's right.
They copied the goodbye wave. Thanks, Kawhi. And they get that he gave Paul George when he sent him home from the playoffs. And
that's
then
right.
Lillard, of course, you know, he clocked that.
He is not going to take that sitting down.
Well, also, I love how calm he is. Like, he doesn't really get, like, agitated and mad. So he gets on the mic. And he said, "I'm not mad at him. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at them for mocking me. It just shows how upset they were
when I sent them home last time."
And then he's like, "It's all, you know, essentially, it's all about how great I am," which is like super like braggy, and it's also kind of a weird backhanded dig.
Right.
And then Bleacher Report posted Dame's comments, and then of course
Pat Bev had to comment. Pat Bev is not going to stay silent.
He is the kind of guy that if he's on your team, you love him. If you're playing against him, you do not hate a player more.
He's a human troll.
Everyone hates him. So, of course, he's going to troll Lillard on the Bleacher Report post, which is kind of funny because Lillard didn't post it, but Bleacher Report did.
Right.
So he wrote Cancun on three and then three laughing until crying emojis.
Classic Bev IG moment. Classic.
That's a great comment by him. Then Paul George chimes in and says, "And you getting sent home this year?" And then laughing until crying emoji. And then he wrote respect with a power fist emoji, which I don't know that.
Did he respect?
So that I was like, is that sarcastic?
We need a sarcastic font in our social media.
We do. So Lillard then wrote back at George. Okay, so this is all happening, and they're living together.
This is so great.
Keep switching teams, running from the grind. Your boys is chumps. And I think it's our chumps, but he wrote his chumps. Okay. I don't know if I'm totally wrong here, but like I said, they're living in the bubble. Right?
You're going to the same cafeteria where Dwight Howard is not wearing a mask. Okay?
Are they seeing each other at the steam room, at the hotel lobby, at the Epcot pool?
Yep.
Is this a bad idea to beef it up under Rand? I'm asking you.
Can you beef it up in the bubble?
And we all know the phrase, you don't crap where you eat.
That's right.
That means you don't hook up with someone at work, right? And I would say you don't start crap where you eat.
You don't start crap in a bubble.
You don't escalate stuff in a bubble because you're living there among these people for a while. I mean, it's great for the game. I actually like the beef because I think now the next time they play, it's going to ratchet up and you can't
so
wait to
awkward.
See it.
That's right.
But now you got other people chiming in.
Lillard's sister.
Lene got in on the act by calling the Clippers point guard Beverly and George's longtime. He called out Beverly, and he called out George's longtime girlfriend, Daniela Rajic.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I said, or this is what she wrote, I said earlier I was going to let that whole Paul George
blank
go and Patrick Beverly because everybody knows how my mouth is, how my mouth can get. Who'd you say that to?
Who'd you say that to?
And by the way,
everyone knew it? I didn't know it.
Lene, I'm just going to say this to you. This is the first time I'm hearing about how your mouth can get.
That's right. But you've got our attention. Continue, please.
She said via footage from the NBA Central Daily, because you can't talk, you got a
blank
stripper pregnant.
Okay.
Now we're getting away from basketball.
Now
she said, so she.
Are we talking about wings? We talking about wings? What are we talking about here?
Maybe she's on the topic of scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But now, we got to get this info into the argument.
Yeah. Bleacher Report is like, we don't even have the resources to put this beef in the thing.
Well, now, then, George's longtime girlfriend claps back at Lillard's sister.
Uh-oh.
Rajic responded to Lene's comments on her Instagram story. Somebody got to get this cow at Lene Lillard.
Okay. Someone come get this cow. That is.
Somebody come get this cow.
I want to put these two ladies in a bubble themselves.
Get them in their own bubble.
Dana White, take them to Fight Island.
I kind of like how. I love how passionate these guys are.
To pick up the beef outside
the bubble.
Yeah.
But somebody in the bubble needs to be like, hey, cool it, man. We live together.
Yeah. By the way, Pat Bev doesn't need help getting under people's skin. He can do that on his own, but you now just gave him motivation.
And he also doesn't need sticking up for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's Pat Bev. And Lillard, I think, very clearly wants to keep everything on the court.
Yeah, wants to be about his game.
So I think, Rand, and I'm not joking, like, there's no mistake that he dropped 51 to 61, because I think this is his way. Like, you're motivating. A guy like this gets motivated by
stuff
like this.
That's his tweet. 61 is his tweet.
So now, you know, thanks to social media, I think you got to get on a Zoom call with all your relatives and all your friends.
And just say, cool, stay off social media.
Just get off.
You can retweet Rex Chapman, but nothing else.
It's like that crazy uncle who learned how to suddenly do Snapchat. You just got to get him off.
Get him off. People can screen grab all that stuff. Do you understand? Trash talk is part of basketball on the court.
It gets heated on the court. We get it, all right? Just don't believe us. Like I said, check out how many times the sound drops during an NBA bubble game.
Yeah, their sound is perfect. There are no technical difficulties.
Right. They're just dropping sound because they're like, oh, we can't put that in.
And I wish there was a channel where we could hear it. I wish there was like a paid channel.
Like
where you could
HBO
just
Sports.
You just
channel.
Hear all of it.
Those aren't technical
And it's fun because the guys are going hard at each other physically. That all gets muddled when your sister goes after the guy's girlfriend.
And then she comes back at you. I say to those people, it's not your fight.
That's right.
This is not your fight. But in some weird way, I also like that it's ratcheting things up a notch.
Here we go.
Because here we go. The bubble barrels towards the playoffs. And you got a guy like Lillard out there who's saying, I'm going to prove myself.
Just give him more fodder. Give him more fodder. All right. There we go.
Hour one
is down in the books. We done it. We done did it. I'm going to read this. We'll do this on the other side of this. We got John Jansen coming up. I'm very excited about talking to him at the top of next hour. And then Gar Reines. Lots of good stuff happening.
Rex Chapman, hour three. Don't go anywhere. We got what you
man.
Need.
It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.